Call to order the City Council Business Meeting for March the 12th, 2024. City Clerk Clark, would you call the roll, please?
Yes, Mayor. Councilmember O'Rear?
Here.
Councilmember Rube?
Here.
Councilmember Williams?
Here.
Councilmember Roche?
Here.
Councilmember Pinkerton?
Here.
Councilmember Hutchings?
Here.
Mayor Shoemaker?
Here.
Please rise as you are able and join us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Each member of council has received a copy of the minutes for our February 13th, 2024 business meeting. Does council have any corrections to the minutes? I have a couple. Clerk Clark, if you would, under item A, there are two places where the word co-permittee occurs. If you would correct the spelling to have two E's on the end of permittee. And then under item B, under the last word that's in bold there should be ordinances plural. That's all I have. If there are no further corrections to the minutes will stand approved as amended. At this time, we have a presentation of action plan from Ima Nwobodu, our program director from Greenville County Redevelopment Authority. Ima, it's all yours.
Thank you, Mayor. Good evening, council members. I'm Ima Nwobodu, and program director for Greenville County Redevelopment Authority. I have two of my board members here I'd like to introduce. It's Denise. This is Denise and Earl. All right, Mr. White. Good. Thank you. So we really appreciate you giving us the opportunity to come back here, as usual, every year to talk about our annual action plan. Basically, these funds are funds that we receive from the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development. And talking about the funds specifically for City of Simpsonville, I'm talking about some of the programs that you have, how you want your projects done this year. And then we'll talk about bigger picture, some of the programs that we have, housing programs and all that, that can be available to folks. Loud enough? Can you hear me enough? Okay. So for the purpose of this funding and for the purpose of the public hearing, it's going to be community development block grant, but I'm going to be saying CDBG and HOME. But there are three major funding sources we get from HART. There's a third one, which is called Emergency Solutions Grant. That fund is not for any particular city, it's basically for the whole of Greenville County. And that fund helps to address homelessness. That fund can be used the City of Greenville because they don't have that particular fund. So, as we go along, I will talk about all the things that we have this year. And the annual action plan, what is it? It's really a yearly proposal that we put together for all the programs and the funds and projects that will be done and carried out for this year, using the funding allocation we get each year from HUD. And basically is a whole document that will take care of not just City of Simpsonville, all five municipalities, and as well as the projects and programs in the unincorporated area. So this particular program year 2024 will start July 1 of this year and end June 30th of 2025. And this particular year actually is the fifth year of our five-year plan. So next year when we come in, we're going to be coming, we just have had gone through what we call the needs assessment in the city, talking about how we want to see the next 5 years. And we'll also be coming in with kind of checking our performance achievements of what we've done in the past 5 years. And, you know, how, what we want to do, what we want to increase. Basically, we're very sure that affordable housing will be key again going forward because we still have a huge gap. Two funding sources that for the City of Simpsonville Community Development Programs basically can be used for so many things. It addresses not just housing, but infrastructure improvement. Addresses some of like demolition of activities that you have potential properties that are deteriorated that you want to demolish. Infrastructure and facility improvements, basically, if you have a low mud area, it's really easy. You can do it in any particular area, you know. But it's a good thing that Simpsonville have grown so well that you don't have a qualifying census tract. So for any of those programs or activities to happen, we're going to conduct an, you know, like an income survey. We'll take on a survey of an area, choose the survey size, and 51% of the persons living in that area, households, must be low and moderate income for us to be able to qualify that project to happen. We did that for Woodside a couple of years ago, so we have the sidewalk and all that. For any other future ones, we'll continue to do that income study. It also helps to address carbon blight, which basically is a property that you feel that is a area that you can demolish. And if there's an urgent need, of course, like a COVID, things like that. The home is basically production, making sure you have access to affordable housing. Affordable housing in the sense that it's able to be attained by households that are low and moderate income, 80% and below. It can be used for new construction, it can be used for rental development, it can be used for down payment assistance, it can be used for homeowner repair. So we'll talk about those programs that we specifically implement in the city and countywide as well. So combination of that, we try to show an analysis of a three-year allocation. The present year, which is called the proposed board, is based on the final number we use at the beginning when we finally get the numbers from HUD. When we came in 2023, we didn't have the numbers, so we walked up from the 2022. So the same thing is happening now. We're using the final numbers we received from HUD, because once we get the allocations, we do the calculations, population, income, household size, low-mod, capital. We use the same formula HUD uses and see all the different municipalities. So for this year, the CDBG funding proposed going forward is $171,175. If it increases, we'll reallocate and we'll show how much you received, and we'll let you know the final numbers. Your program income from last year for CDBG doubled, went on to $14,730. Program income are usually anything we sold a property or somebody, we rehab the property, the interest being paid back comes back to you. So those things that we pay, we sell, you know, our homeowners pay back. That's usually on programming for CDBG program income. The home program income usually has been sales of property. The properties in Woodside, the ones that we built three. So we sold, comes back to you. Not all of them were sold at the 20 fiscal year 2020, you know, it was sold after the calendar year of 23, so they will count into the next year, fiscal year. So you have $162,863 for that. So you can see that it's actually doubled, more than doubled your home grant that year. And the same way we're able to cycle it back and put in another. So for both CDBG home and program income, we're looking at about $422,138. The rental reserve is not going to be part of it because it's part of the rental we have, and we're going to put it back in the rental to make sure we upkeep the existing rental that you have. So having that you have over $400,000, this is the proposed distribution of funds, how you want to use the funds. Of course, all of the home and home program income, we're putting it towards new construction or even to have a substantial rehab, but must be used for affordable housing. Families 80% and below will be able to, you know, have access or be targeted for those houses. Could be rental, could be homeownership. And then $24,000 total, 24%, sorry, of your total funds, which is $100,000, will be used towards acquisition of properties. The acquisition of properties, we will not be land banking. Once you acquire property, you have to immediately identify the use, and within a year, HUD is coming to you to say, okay, is it a house or anything that you're doing? It's very important that the acquisition of property is something that benefits, immediate benefits the whole low moderate income family. You don't have an LMA, so we can't acquire it, so we're going to use it for something that is area benefit. So most likely your acquisition is something that's directly benefiting low and moderate income. And it must be done immediately. You can, and then you have about 7% of your total funds for demolition. So there's many things. If you wanted to acquire properties for potential, maybe address facility improvement or slum and blight, drains, most likely you almost have to make sure 25, all of the households, at least 51% of those must be low and moderate income. So you have to immediately identify your survey size and get an income survey for that to qualify. But for demolition, it doesn't have to be. If you acquire a property using city funds and feel that you want to address it for facility improvement, we can demo, but not the acquisition. So that's kind of how it is. Because with demolition, you address the slum and blight and that closes that project. Of opposition is waiting for you to show that direct benefit to the household. Subrecipients, historically, you've always set aside $22,000 and you have to. Part of the funds goes to your senior program and then the other fund goes to Center for Community Services. We received two proposals as usual. We will be sending the city administrator the funds, the allocation of funds, and the recommendation for the two sub-recipients. We set aside some funding as well for economic development business loans. We've been having some inquiries, so we want to make sure we have some funds for anybody, small business owner, for somebody, a starter, that's perfect for them. And then the facade improvement, we'll also be receiving a lot of inquiries, and some are, you know, working in different categories of those. We want to continue to provide those facade improvements to business owners in the downtown area. I talked about some of the housing programs, and usually we use this opportunity to let people know that they can have access to it. Some of the programs, I'll say, we finished the ownership project with Habitat for Humanities and Us. So there's 13 houses there, and they're all sold to households 80% and below. And we'll see some of those pictures as well. We also provide funding for gap financing for developers. We just had some proposals recommended to the committee today. So we didn't get any proposal for our light tech projects in the city of Cincinnati. We really encourage developers to provide those affordable housing, and your funds and the Greenville County Affordable Housing Fund, which we manage, will be used for gap financing as well. We have the first-time home marriage program, provide $10,000. One of the things we want to do is increase that so that it will be able to provide additional assistance and make the house more attainable to families buying those homes. And as it goes on, but one of the things I want to mention here is the repair program for seniors. We've actually increased it. You can actually have up to $25,000 that's used to fix your houses. It's don't have to pay back. Well, if you're forgivable loan, that will be on that. We won't recapture unless the house is sold. But up to $10,000 of it is completely forgiven. So those are there, making sure that parents, grandparents are able to live in place without moving, be able to fix some of the things, all the code enforcement, all the things that ADA that we can address in the household. The emergency solutions program that I talked about is the funds that's been helping us. I'd be surprised how many people have been using it in addition to the home app fund we talked about, that we provide tenant-based rental assistance to our different partners. You'll think that after COVID, you don't have a lot of people, but the moment the Home Art program hit the ground with the program, we, with our partners, a lot of people came on. So there's still a lot of assistance to prevent people from being homeless that's still needed. Their housing costs, the rental housing costs, really way exceed the income of a lot of families. And it's still ongoing. So the need for more affordable housing for people to be able to have access is really important to be helped. So that one-time fund that we received, which is called the HomeArc, has really helped. And we have three partners. The Human Relations is one of them that anybody can go to. The Career Relief is another. Salvation Army is another. United Housing Connections will be another partner, helping specifically children in schools that are homeless, their families get back, you know, having houses. So that's really important to us as well. This is some of the pictures of their Woodside properties, the homeownership units. Families 80% and below. For the ones we sold, we provided up to $40,000 in subsidy to reduce the cost of the houses to make it affordable. Your funds basically for the community development, like we talked about, acquisition of properties, and of course demolition and public service. We still have the economic development and facade. One of the programs that is not part of this, but is a program that you are participating, the City of Simpsonville is one of the participants or the coalition members, is the Brownfield funding. We received last year $1 million from the EPA to help with assessment grants. And this fund will help developers of brownfield properties. But sometimes there are properties that are that you feel that potentially brownfield, or well, the phase one, funding does phase one, phase two, partial phase three, depending on what is found under phase two, and also redevelopment planning opportunity. So that is something that we have going, and we invite, if you have developers or property owners of commercial properties that have been vacant and potential contamination on site, we would love to partner with them to get that going. The Simpsonville Senior Center, this is basically the before and after picture, beautiful kitchen, outdoor. Still wonderful outdoor facility there. So that's part of your program, that project that you did last year with your CDBG funds and with combining it with your PEEP funding as well. So that was a successful partnership in the city. Loan program, like I said, small business loans are from there to $25,000. And we're not a bank, so our idea is making sure you retain or create a loan margin. It's not about your credit score or anything. It's about your passion and seeing how it works. But we'll make sure you kind of, you need to go through with SCORE to put together a business plan and we'll see the passion in it and make it successful for you. So the process goes through now. We're going through the public hearing in all the municipalities. We will have a general public hearing in Greenville in April, and then it goes to the County Finance Committee in May, and the full County Council in May as well. Submission will be in May to HUD. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Malbadu. Are there any comments or questions? Are we required to do anything as far as public hearing?
No, just we'll continue to receive comments from people up until May 6th, I believe. So they can always email us, call us, talk to us about anything. So
thank you, Ms. Malbadu.
Thank you.
All right, it's time for citizen comments, item 6 on our agenda. We will start with Vanessa Rampey.
My name is Vanessa Rampey. I live at 123 Roundtree Drive in Simpsonville, 29681. And I just wanted to come to speak about transit and the importance of the Route 601. I've been a Simpsonville resident for about 2 years. I'm an upstate native, moved here, and it became a need for me. My daughter was in 11th grade at the time. She was going to the Career Center, and we had one car. And I really, the Career Center she was going to you have to provide the transportation. So I got to researching the bus, and literally it was a 3-minute walk from my house. I was like, let's do this. So it became, it was a need at that time for us, and it allowed us to, it allowed me to work my retail job in Greenville on Lawrence Road the times I needed to. I didn't have to worry about school hours versus retail hours. So I did that for a little over a year, back and forth to work, and I just know that transit is a need in a growing city. It allows people to go to work. You know, now I have a 2-car at household, we were able to save and buy a used car. I said I was going to ride the bus once a week, but it's been cold, so when it gets warm, I'm going to start back. So I just want to advocate for the 6-on-1 and the importance of it. People used it to get to work. And I think also it's used a lot for people to get to Greenville for resources that they need to get housing or to get jobs. So I just, you know, I hope that the funding can be available and everyone wants to use that funding for the Route 601. Thank you.
Thank you. Matthew Kazesis? Did I say that correctly?
Kazesis, like Dr. Seuss.
All right. Thank you very much, Mayor, members of the City Council. Appreciate you allowing me a few minutes of your time. Again, my name is Matthew Kazesis. I live at 215 Kings Heath Lane, and I've been a resident of Simpsonville for 12 years, assistant professor of sociology at Greenville Technical College. And with that in mind, I just wanted to quickly thank Ms. Mowadu for your work and the recommendation there. And I'm going off topic already, but in a previous life, I worked with people who are homeless in Orlando, so affordable housing is crucial, certainly. But I'm here tonight to support funding for the GreenLink Transportation Services, specifically Route 601. I know that as a faculty member, a lot of my students at Greenville Tech and in the community at large need reliable transportation services. Many of them are first-time college students. They don't have the time or the funding to have their own vehicle, to have reliable transportation. They're sharing with family members. They're trying to make a difference and improve their lives to get that first degree certificate, move into the workforce successfully. And it does require reliable transportation for many of our students. Any small obstacle can certainly be something that sets them up to lose that attendance that they need on site to be there in my classroom. I don't like seeing empty desks. I wonder where the students are. And quite often it's something just like a small roadblock, like just being able to get where they need to go can be a stumbling block for their education. I also know that even if you are not directly using the bus yourself, the road, the burden of all these vehicles, commuting back and forth between here and Frazier campus on West Georgia Road, you can see the burden on our roadways already. All the people that we can get into the habit of using public infrastructure for using the buses greatly helps the efficiency of our community and helps to provide dignity and safety for everybody who is using the bus lines as well. Just in conclusion, in graduate school life, I spent a lot of work focusing on urban growth and development, on sustainable housing, and for how do we build communities that attract people, that retain people, that people want to continue to live in and raise their kids in and stay in. Quite often I ask my students at Greenville Tech, how many of you plan on staying here in Simpsonville, in Greenville County at all? And the vast majority of them say, I'm out as soon as possible, right? But I would love to see Greenville County and specifically Simpsonville be a type of place where people wanted to stay, raise families, return to. And I think public transportation and making sure that we have ease of access of getting around is going to be a major contributor to that. So thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. Stephen Markowitz.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor and Council. My name is Dave Markowitz. I live at 111 Ravencrest Court, right here in Simpsonville, 29680. I'm from New York. I guess you can tell by my accent. And I'm here to advocate for 601. I personally don't use the bus, but I have been part transportation for about 40 years of my life. I actually drove a bus, a coach in New York and New Jersey, driving to my job, wearing a suit and tie, going up and doing my job as an IT project manager, and then drive the bus home. The reason why I wanted to bring this up, and then hearing a couple of people here already mention that they depend on the bus to get to school, students get to school, and even some of them trying to get to Greenville to use other resources, and you know, by using public transportation, it's very important. I grew up on Long Island in New York. Back in those days, it was a sprawl, that's Eastern New York City. The county grew, all right, that is Suffolk and Nassau County. It grew exponentially. The numbers are astronomical. I wish I had some just to give you an idea of what it's like. What is happening is that what's happening here and in Greenville, that every branch is an open lot, you see houses going up. Okay? What drags behind that is the infrastructure. And that's what happened to Long Island. Long Island started choking on itself with so many cars on the road. Yes, they have the Long Island Railroad out there, but that was not sufficient to carry people all the way up to the island and back into New York City. Just recently, Long Island expanded their railroad to 3-4 tracks, and it cost billions of dollars. All right, what's the point of all this, Steve, right? The point is here, not to sacrifice the present, looking forward toward the future, okay? By maintaining this bus service here, the people have something to use now, but as Simpsonville continues to grow with all the subdivisions that are going up, especially around where I live, the use of the bus becomes paramount. And as Matthew said, we want to try to get people off the road as best as we can. And by using public transportation, developing it, and make it more readily available, people will use it. And people are using it today. And I want to thank you all for your time and hope the consideration keeps this all in line.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Melissa Thomas.
Thank you for your time this evening. My name is Melissa Thomas, and I work for Hammond Law at 7 Ralph Hendricks Drive in Simpsonville, 29681. I'm the co-chair of this year's Leadership Gold Booster class. When our group initially met in January, shelters for the Greenland bus stops in the Golden Strip area were considered for our class project. While there was broad support and excitement for the idea, the uncertainty about Route 61 remaining in the area led us to have to consider other options. Since the vote of the last council meeting to put that expenditure on the agenda today, we have become hopeful about the project prospect of shelters at bus stops as a project. Regardless of what our leadership ownership class ultimately selects as a project, we are a group of business and community leaders from across the Golden Strip area. And we strongly support ensuring Route 601 continues to serve members of the public in Simpsonville and elsewhere who rely on it. Thank you for your time and dedication to your constituents.
Thank you. I'm sorry, Bill, I can't read your last name. What's your last name again?
Harkle Road.
Okay.
Harkle Road.
Harkle Road. Yeah.
Excuse me. Yeah.
So my name is Bill Harkle Road, 112 Pine Haven Way, Simpsonville, 29680. So I'm with the Golden Strip Rotary Group. And I'm here to talk about the Simpsonville Simply Proud program, the litter prevention program. So when my organization expressed an interest in doing a road cleanup and adopting a road somewhere in Greenville County, we ended up talking to Justin Campbell here. And I said, Justin, where could we like to adopt the road? Is there some place in Simpsonville that we could do? And he said, well, you know, maybe South Street would work. So we ended up adopting that road. But the point I want to make is I've been doing like stream cleanups, cleaning up litter for like, I would say almost 20 years now. And I've never seen a program that actually its focus was on prevention and having sustainable. So I was very excited when I talked with Justin. He has such a program in place. We could join in with him. And that's basically what I wanted to say. And I congratulate Justin for coming up with that idea and the mayor and city council for supporting a program to make litter prevention sustainable. Thank you.
Thank you. Move on to our business section of our agenda. Item 7A, the second reading of Ordinance O-2024-01. This ordinance is a change to the ordinances to allow for greater flexibility in the method of setting the council meeting date, time, and place without the necessity to change the ordinance. And the primary driver will be obvious if we approve this on second reading, is that the main idea is to change the meeting time from 6:30 to 6 p.m., which we'll deal with after we deal with this item. So since this is listed under my name on the agenda, I move for council to approve on second reading of Ordinance O-2024-01, Ordinance to amend Sections 2-65 of Division 2 of Article 2 of Chapter 2 of the City of Simpsonville Code of Ordinances.
Second.
A motion from the mayor with a second from Councilmember Root. Discussion? Councilmember O'Rear.
I kind of said my piece last time. Read over it and looks good. I'm satisfied with it, so. Sounds good.
Thank you. Any other discussion? I did fail to mention that the amendments that were passed in the last business meeting were included in this in the ordinance that's before us tonight. If there's no further discussion on the motion to approve set on second reading of Ordinance O-2024-01, Ordinance to amend Sections 2-65 of Division 2 of Article 2 of Chapter 2 of the City of Simpsonville Code of Ordinance. All those in favor signify by saying yes.
Yes.
All opposed signify by saying no. The motion carries unanimously. Next up, as I mentioned before, is item 7B, the resolution to change the council meeting time. This resolution will change our official meeting time from 6:30 p.m. to 6 p.m. And the thinking behind this change to the time is that we have staff that starts here at 8 o'clock in the morning and they stay here until council ends at whatever time it ends. Sometimes that's late, sometimes it's early. But if we start a half an hour earlier, they would get to go home half an hour earlier, hopefully, and that would apply to council as well. Again, this item is under my name. So council, I move to approve the resolution to change the council meeting time.
Second.
A motion from the mayor with a second from council member Roop. Discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying yes.
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 All opposed signify by saying no. The motion carries 7-0. Item 7C, resolution to approve the litter prevention program. Mr. Campbell, our community relations specialist, will you summarize, please?
Thank you, Mayor and Council. Before you for your consideration is a resolution to memorialize the formation of the Simpsonville Simply Proud Litter Prevention and Adopt the Street programs. If you have my report, I can answer questions about that later. As an update, there are a total of 4 Adopt the Street application submissions, and I expect there will probably be 2 or 3 in the next week or two. And we will be unveiling the first Adopt the Street sign on South Street with Golden Strip Sunrise Rotary Club on Thursday morning at 9 on the corner of South and West Curtis Streets. So the motion would be something like approve resolution 2024-01 forming the Simpsonville Simply Proud Litter Prevention Program. You also have the language in my report. And I would be happy to answer any questions if you have them.
Thank you, Mr. Campbell. A motion is in order. Councilmember Roche.
Mayor, I move that council approve resolution to approve the litter prevention program as presented.
Second.
A motion from Councilmember Roche with a second from Councilmember Hutchings. Discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor signify by saying yes.
Yes.
All opposed signify by saying no. Motion carries 7-0.
Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Campbell. Item 7D, funding for Green Link in the fiscal year 2025 budget. Administrator Grace Lee, will you summarize, please?
Thank you, Mayor and Council. As you all have considered in two previous Committee of the Whole meetings, Green Link did approach the mayor and me last year in late October, and we didn't have any other Committee of the Whole meetings for the remainder of the year, so we took this matter up in January, and again at Committee of the Whole most recently in February. Essentially, what we're asking is for Council to decide if they would like to fund the local share of Route 601 so that it can continue to operate in Malden and Simpsonville. And the motion would be to authorize me to put that funding allocation in the FY25 budget. So the expenditure would be after July 1st of this year.
The motion is in order. Councilmember Hutchings.
Mayor and Council, I'll make a motion to approve funding for Green Link in the fiscal year 25 budget.
Have a motion from Councilmember Hutchings with a second from Councilmember Roche. Discussion? Councilmember Pinkerton.
Yes, at the last meeting, we had a discussion, but I had some concerns, mainly coming out of the letter that we received, mostly to do with cost and how those costs came about. Having a board member represented for Simpsonville and partially paratransit concerns I had. Councilman O'Rear and I did meet with Amanda Ward and James Keel on March 4th to discuss these items. I think we came away fairly satisfied on some of the issues, one of which was the $47,000 a month. And initially reading that number, prior to that, there's a number that's about $36,000, and it's rolled up to 47, which includes all costs of maintenance, additional new buses if needed, etc. Now, it doesn't mean that $47,000 will remain that number for years to come, but that's going to be based on inflation, which their terms of inflation basically the cost of fuel, insurance, and some maintenance, and some of their own overhead. One of the selling points, though, was paratransit that we kept discussing, and in the last meeting I brought that up because there's certain parts of Ward 5 at that point I thought weren't going to get covered because of the distance required, and I did ride from the last bus stop out to Howard Road, and it's well beyond where the paratransit will go to. In fact, you can go on their website, and it's a pretty distinctive area that follows the bus route in a linear design. In fact, it splits my neighborhood. There's some council members that wouldn't have ability to get paratransit. And some of their neighborhoods are the same as mine. So it was a little bit concerning, and we discussed that and how we could change that. In fact, I thought it would be almost a no vote for me if we couldn't include all of Simpsonville and the paratransit. However, that comes with a great deal of cost. They can actually change parameters, but then if they did it for Simpsonville, they have to do it for the entire network. Cost a lot of money. We did discuss, though, there's a possibility we could change routing, make it a little bit more viable, not only for paratransit, but for access into the city of Simpsonville, rather than a straight shot with a loop in the end. They said that's absolutely doable. So from a standpoint of future growth, I mean, it'd certainly be up to council to take a look at these things, and it's something that can be done. There was a few parameters they'd have to go around, but as far as future goes, for the bus, it could be better than what we have now, what I'm saying. So that's really the update that we got from GreenLink and GTA, and I felt satisfied that they gave us the right answers. I will say, as of today, we've not seen an agreement which they said they agreed to. We don't know that a board member is going to be approved, but I understand that they're working on it. So I have their word, and it's memorialized in email. I assume that things are going to get done.
Councilmember Rick.
I wanted to publicly appreciate
the dialogue this council has done, I think we've really looked at this. We haven't hurried through it. I studied government in high school, studied in college. I taught at the high school level. I love when government works the way it's supposed to. I think we've asked the right questions. We've had comments on contracts. We've looked at carefully. We've looked at options to raise ticket prices, maybe unification of the waiting stations. We've talked about our biggest problem in Simpsonville is probably perhaps if you pulled the area with the traffic. I think this helps with traffic. I think we would do ourselves a disservice by canceling this. I think it would add to a traffic problem that we already have. I think, though, we have looked at, and sometimes we've become focused of which people aren't able to use this, who's getting left out. And I think we lose focus of those that will be using it and those that we will be leaving out by not passing this. So I think we've gotten, and I'm fiscally conservative and I'm about cost, but sometimes cost sometimes gets in the way of making the right decision. And I think sometimes the city comes down to doing a service for its people and not looking at an ROI. So I have not changed my opinion at all. And I think council should approve this for this year. Sometimes we look at next year and the next year, and let's not put the cart before the horse. If costs go up considerably next year, we'll have this dialogue, hopefully, and dig into it as deep as we did this year, next year. But for now, I'm content with the things. I do urge that a big decision that I believe they should follow through on is getting a board position on this board. I agree with council members' assessment on that as well, but I cannot in good conscience tell people they cannot get to work anymore. I just can't vote that way. So I'll be voting in favor. I urge my fellow council members to do the same. Thank you.
Councilman Robrier.
Yeah, I know we've talked about this a lot. I'm Councilman Monroe. I appreciate all the dialogue and I appreciate all the participation with GreenLink and Greenville Connects. Everybody dialoguing with us and being open and honest. And, you know, Councilmember Pinkerton referenced our meeting and everything. The dialogue there was great. The questions answered. The biggest thing, and I agree with Councilman Pinkerton, is the paratransit to me is the selling point to this, because that's where true need comes in. My concern with it was the geography it covered, and like Councilman Pinkerton mentioned, you know, there can be an adjustment to the stops themselves. To instead of making a straight shot through the city, to make more of a circular arc, which would automatically encompass more area for paratransit, which was very important to me. Also important to me was, I'm very fiscally conservative myself. The GreenLink having an open invitation to the city of Simpsonville's checkbook every year, just coming, hey, here's the number we need. So I'm very cognizant of that, but I'm kind of with Councilman Root. You know, it's at some point there is a public need for things like this, but I do fall on, I said in the last meeting, I think it's pertinent that we have a seat at that table on the GTA board. Because we do have to represent the financial interest of the taxpayers of this city, one of which is myself, to make sure they are as fiscally responsible as we would like to be with our own city's money. So I'm going to have to take a leap of faith if I'm going to believe what they told us at our meeting, that these things would happen. If these things do in fact happen, then I think this will be a great thing. So, you know, it'll take a leap of faith to trust what they told us. I'm a person of my word, and if someone gives me their word, I expect them to keep it, and I would expect GreenLink to keep their word to what they told Councilman Pinkerton and myself at that meeting.
Councilman Perrochet.
I appreciate GreenLink getting the numbers for Simpsonville riders in particular to us at that meeting. Councilmember Pinkerton and Councilmember arrear, taking the time to negotiate what would be best for Simpsonville. I agree with them. If we are investing, we need a seat at the table on the board. I would also like to see some sort of a contract or a, you know, an annual agreement that goes with this. If we're going to put it in the budget, I'd like to have something in writing saying, you know, they're obligated to provide these services, what those services are, and the dates, the beginning and the end dates. I don't want this to become something where they come back every year and it becomes like a taxation situation where it just goes up every single year. The accountability aspect, that's part of that contract. I'd like to see some accountability. Anytime we're putting taxpayer funds into a program, I think there should be some accountability factor. There should be a report back to us the following year before they ask for more funding and saying, this is how we used your funding, this is how it's benefited Simpsonville in particular. I know that I got pushed back when I said that this is a business, but in 2023, it was announced on Greenville Online that, you know, GreenLink had a 10-year plan that was going to yield them $2 billion for Greenville County. They have a board of directors. They have an annual budget. Their business is to make money with that route. So I don't believe they're broke. I don't believe they're going to be broke. And I believe that they very much run like a business. And there needs to be some accountability for putting public funds into this line. That said, I do also want to say I really appreciate the voice of the people. When this issue first came up, I had one person that reached out to me, and I think everybody else on council. And one person just wasn't enough to justify keeping the line coming through. Since then, we've had two more meetings, and I have been emailed, called, texted. I really appreciate that. I appreciate the people that came and spoke tonight to let us know how important that is, because ultimately that's what we represent, is the voice of the people. And the numbers, to me, now justify our investment in keeping 601 going. So I am changing completely from my first meeting, and believe that we should go ahead and fund 601 and try to keep that going for future growth at the Fountain Inn end as well.
Councilmember Hutchings.
First of all, I have a question. Does this require another reading?
No.
Okay. I want to say, first of all, that I appreciate Councilmember Roche's vote to postpone this original vote on this to give us time to do research and to get input from citizens. I too got probably more response on this than any issue that we've had in recent times. And I learned a lot myself. I didn't know a lot about the bus system. I certainly didn't know about the paratransit service that was offered. I think that's a wonderful thing for our community. As I said in our last meeting, I think the economic impact is substantial to maintain this service will be critical for our communities. I think that that this serves a need for our people that don't have transportation. And as many of you are aware, more and more of our younger people now are not buying cars. They're not depending on personal vehicles to get from one place to another. So I think for the future that this has a lot of ramifications for our community as well. One concern I did have at the last meeting was future years as we go through this process, how the cost will be presented to us in another fiscal year. I had asked if they could give us some sort of proposed increase for the next next several years, and I think Councilmember Pinkerton's meeting answered that question for us. As they more or less ensured that we would only receive necessary inflationary increases in the cost. So with that, I am very much in favor of this, and I intend to vote in the positive for this.
Council? Just one point of clarification, it's $47,000 annually.
Correct.
Thank you. And then just one other comment, I'm going to be verbally conservative. I'm in favor. On the motion to approve funding for Green Link in fiscal year 2025 budget, all those in favor signify by saying yes.
Yes.
All opposed signify by saying no. Motion carries 7-0. Item 7E, approval of the Welcome Center budget. Administrator Gracely, will you summarize, please?
Yes, thank you, Mayor and Council. As you all recall, 2 weeks ago at the Committee of the Whole meeting, Ms. Allison McGarity was here from the Simpsonville Area Chamber of Commerce to present the Welcome Center budget for FY25. This budget was also presented to the Accommodations Tax Advisory Committee because the funding for this does come through state accommodations tax. The vote tonight would be to approve her annual budget for the Welcome Center.
Thank you. A motion is in order. Councilmember Hutchings.
Mayor and Council, I make a motion to approve the Welcome Center budget as presented for fiscal year 25.
Second. I have a motion from Councilmember Hutchings with a second from Councilmember O'Rear. Discussion? Councilmember Root.
Just to clarify for public purposes, Administrator Gracely, that these are funds that we have to use for Welcome Centers. Can we explain that these are not just given out, we're not just throwing money out the window? These are
funds that we have to use. Yes, I'd be happy to.
Yes, thank you.
And this also will parlay into the next item on the agenda as well. But the city is allocated funding every year from the 3% state accommodations tax that's collected by the Department of Revenue. We also collect a local accommodations tax that we do in-house here, but this is specifically for the state tax that then is reallocated back to us. Of that allocation, the first $25,000 is mandated by state law to go into the general fund budget. The next 5% of the allocation is mandated to go into the general fund budget. 30% is mandated to go toward a welcome center or advertising for the city. And then the other 65% is the next item on the agenda to fund special events that are tourism related using, again, the state accommodations tax.
Thank you. Council? Hearing no further discussion, on the motion to approve the Welcome Center budget as presented, all those in favor signify by saying yes.
Yes.
All opposed signify by saying no. Motion carries 7-0. Item 7F, approval of accommodations tax funding recommendations. Administrator Gracely, will you summarize, please?
I will, thank you. You all received these at the Committee of the Whole. These are recommendations that are coming from the advisory committee for the accommodations tax funding. This committee is appointed by council. They serve two-year terms, and they can only serve two consecutive terms. So at most, members serve a four-year term, just to give you a little background on that. They come in and they review all of the applications for funding requests. Those funding requests are required to be made to the city by the end of October. And we generally schedule the Accommodations Tax Committee their first meeting to review the applications and to hear from the applicants in early January, which is what we did. And then subsequent to that, there's another meeting where they discuss as a group how they want to recommend allocation of the funding. And then these recommendations come to you. So you have the spreadsheet that shows all of the funding requests, whether or not they're recommending funding, and the amount that they're recommending.
Thank you. A motion is in order. Councilmember Roche.
Mayor, I move that council approve the accommodations tax funding recommendations as presented.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilmember Roche with a second from Councilmember Root. Councilmember Roche.
I had just one question, and I probably should have asked it while Allison was here last time. But maybe Administrator Brinsley can answer for me. The Halloween at Heritage Park event, I see that we allocate money to that, and it occurred to me that that is sponsored usually by Upstate Karate. How does that work? If it's already sponsored, then why would they get accommodations?
So that's a really expensive event to put on. It's not dissimilar from other events where they do get sponsorships to help make up the funding gap. They're not asking, nor would the committee approve full funding from this tax to cover all of their expenses. And so this is also an event in partnership with the Simpsonville Recreation Department. So the city does have a vested interest in it. So just as I said, like many other events, our Simply Freedom Fest, for instance, that we do for celebrating Independence Day, the city requests funding from this fund too. We can't just take it, we go through the same process. And we also have other sponsors of that event. The city puts other funding into it. Duke Energy has sponsored every year for the last, I think, 4 years at least. So it's just building funding layers so that they can put the event on.
Okay, thank you.
Councilmember Hutchings.
I think to that point, at the last meeting, I had asked a question about the concert series and food truck rodeo budget being reduced, or allocation being reduced this year. And as you said, it was because that event has become established and has gained more sponsorships. And I noticed that this year that the same is true for the Freedom Fest. The amount has gone down from the previous year. So I think, to your point, that the sponsorships tend to, over time, build up and the allocations become less necessary.
Correct. And like I said, it helps with the funding request if they have other funding sources to subsidize the event and not just rely solely on this funding. And I will say that the committee they had a very hard decision to make. The available funding this year was less than it has been in years past, and so they had to make some really difficult decisions.
Council? Hearing no further discussion on the motion to approve the accommodations tax funding recommendations as presented, all those in favor signify by saying yes.
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 All opposed signify by saying no. Motion carries 7-0. That concludes our business items. If there is no objection, we will stand adjourned.